Today we have Jesus' tender invitation to abide in him. Abide in me, he says, as I abide in you. It often seems, that Jesus is asking us to address a great divide that separates us from him and to cross that bridge of invitation. It seems that you and I are on one side of this great chasm, and that Jesus is way across space and time in a measurable distance from us as far as heaven is from earth. But Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. This word abide can also be translated as remain. Abiding or remaining presupposes that you and I are already plugged in to one another. We're already grafted into that vine, that one who is asking us now to maintain that connection, to nurture it, to foster it, to be rooted in him. I love Jesus' illustration of a grapevine. God the Father is the one tending this vine. Jesus is the vine, and you and I are the branches. We have been grafted into this fruit vine through baptism and by faith. And now you and I receive this sap of life, this flow of Christ from the roots all the way through the vine who is Christ, coming from Christ himself. So Jesus asks us to stay put, to stay rooted in him, to abide in him, to be still and know that I am God, in whom we live, we move, and we have our being. To think of it another way, we are connected to Jesus by this spiritual umbilical cord that gives us all the nourishment and life and sustenance that we need. It's a tether of rootedness that feeds us the life-giving and fruit-producing spirit of Christ. It would be foolish, wouldn't it, to detract, to pull away, to unroot ourselves in him. It would be no less foolish for a deep sea diver or a spacewalker to cut off that supply of air, oxygen, and communication with the mother ship. To break that connection on either side would be catastrophic. And so it is with making our home and being rooted in Jesus. Yet how often do you and I feel that disconnection? Here we have Christ making a bid for connection. I thought about the Beatles song decades ago, where, look at all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? That's what we're like when we're not rooted in him. And Jesus says, where you belong is in me, abiding in me. Even as Christians, we run the risk of simply touching home base quickly. Once a week, maybe on Sunday morning for an hour with Jesus. Like that branch that removes itself from the vine. Not aware that we are always rooted in him. This life-sustaining connection. We run the risk of becoming saints for an hour on Sunday and then prodigals and wandering sheep for the rest of the week. And that same connection is before us every single day. We begin our day, I hope, with prayer and thanksgiving for all that God has blessed us with: food, shelter, family, employment. But then, throughout the day, maybe our hearts and our minds begin to slip and be distracted by the things of the world, and we forget about Christ's sustaining love and life flowing in us. From our end, the branch is being removed from the vine. This tether of connection is being broken from our end because of our negligence or because of our distraction. But what if I told you that's as bad as the bad news gets? That tether of connection only seems to be broken on our end. That is the illusion that any of us can live, move, or have our being apart from Christ. Remember, he said, "Abide in me as I abide in you." Never forsaking us, never leaving us as orphans. Just as a branch cannot live on its own unless it's grafted into the vine, only then will those tender leaves in spring, as we see right now at this time of year, revealing their prayerful hands up to the sun. Only then will those branches grow and become like the rest of the vine. In Christ, we are those branches in the vine who is the Christ. Only then will we bear fruit and that sweet aroma and that life-sustaining sweetness to the world. And did you notice that God is pruning? He's cutting away those dead branches in our lives. It's a grace. It's a gift for him to do those things, isn't it? To cut off those things that are actually sucking the life out of us and distracting us from what we should be rooted in. In Christ, we draw that spirit of life. All other things are a dead end, and simply God reveals that to us by cutting them off. As the hymn writer says, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And so God wants us to be grounded and rooted in the vine. It's out of God's love and mercy that God, the vine grower, cuts those things off and throws them into the purifying fire. It's humbling, but he's molding and shaping us into the vine that we are in Christ. We experience growth when you and I also let go of those dead branches and quit trying to graft them into our lives, those things that distract us and want to seduce us away from that our rootedness in Christ, who is our very light and our sustenance. Simple things we can do, like first thing in the morning, instead of checking in first with your smartphone, check in with God. Plug in to that vine that's always in us and around us and wants to live through us. Not letting those things of the world to carry us away into anxiety, like what's going on in the news, across the world, in our own city streets, in our politics, those things that will seduce us away and distract us and tempt us into wanting to graft ourselves into those things rather than Christ. I'm sure you remember the story of the Wizard of Oz. You remember Dorothy, who goes on this long, arduous journey, this life-threatening journey through Oz. At the very beginning of her journey, she accidentally kills the witch's sister, who's also a witch. Magic silver slippers, or in the movie, ruby slippers, simply appear on her feet. Dorothy walks the rest of her journey in Oz in those same slippers, trying to find her way back home to Kansas. She is in exile in Oz, trying to find her way home. At the very end of the story, the Good Witch of the North tells Dorothy that she always had the means to go back home with her all the time in those silver slippers on her feet. Home was never far away. It was as close as those slippers were on her feet. So Jesus encourages us to come home, to abide in him as he abides in us. He only asks you to do what he's already done. He's already plugged into you, and he wants us to plug in to him. He's made his home in our hearts, where he dwells richly, coming from heaven to earth to dwell among people, to breathe, to live, and to suffer as he dwells among us. He unites himself to us in his death, and he unites himself to us in his resurrection so that we have our life in him. In those beautiful words that we heard earlier from 1 John, we live through him. God lives in us. Remarkable. And then even more encouraging, we love because he first loved us. Abide in me as I abide in you. So Jesus makes this bid for connection that has never really been lost from his side, but sometimes we need to tend to on ours. So we remain and abide in Christ because he has first made his home in our hearts. Even better than Dorothy's slippers that were with her in her entire journey all along, Christ has already chosen to dwell in our hearts even when we have not been aware or appreciated that. Take a deep breath. Christ is more near to you than your very breath. Feel your pulse, your heartbeat. Christ is nearer to you than your very heartbeat. That life-sustaining blood, that sap flowing through Christ to us, Christ is nearer to us, as near as that branch grafted tenderly in the greater vine. Flowing, pulsating, energizing, and drawing us to the very root of who we are and his divine love and life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.